Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Sports Talk here on the Big 870 WWL. Mike Dottillo along with Charlie Long will be joined in the 5 o'clock hour with our triple option feature by Steve Geller. And be careful on the highway. A lot of people headed into the city and out of the city with a long 4th of July weekend. So be careful on the highways and make it an enjoyable weekend. Spend some time with the family and rest up, whatever makes you feel best. Do it this weekend, but be careful on the highway. Our guests at 4:20, at Sam Levitt, the quarterback for Arizona State. Got to talk to him at the Manning Passing Academy. And watching him, and he's got a great story, grew up in Oregon, signs with Michigan State and Mel Tucker. Okay, and then Mel starts losing, has some off-the-field issues. They get rid of him, and Sam sort of left in the middle. Doesn't know exactly what to do, so he transfers to Arizona State. We all saw last year that run late, and on January 1st in the Peach Bowl against Texas, they took the Longhorns to double overtime. Now, a big part of that certainly was Cam Scadaboo, and you'll hear him talk about Cam. But, man, a big part of it, too, was that connection with Sam Levitt at quarterback. And they have one of the top receivers in college football in Jordan Tyson. Jordan went to Colorado first, saw he wasn't going to be the star there, not with Travis Hunter, so he transfers to Arizona State. And last year, all he does is catch 75 passes, averages almost 15 yards a catch, and of his 75 catches, 10 of them end up in the end zone. A great route runner. I think he's got a chance to be a superstar player at the collegiate level. I feel the same way about Sam. Now, one thing about Sam, it's just strange, but it's true. He was more accurate on the longer intermediate throws and the deep balls than the short ones. Part of it was that ball comes out of that hand as though it's like coming out of a cannon. And so he had to learn how to, he can't throw that short pass the same way you do the deep stuff. And he got much better as the season went along, but he's got a rifle. And of the guys at Manning Passing Academy that really caught my eye, Sam Levitt was one of them. And I knew he was an impressive-looking guy because I'll watch him. He's a good athlete. He's not afraid to run with the football, and he's got really good escapability. We saw that against Texas. Texas was sending extra people after him to try to put pressure on him, and he would get away and hit that open man downfield, or they'd run that little delay draw with Scadaboo, and it was, catch him, you know. And one thing with Scadaboo, I got to talk to Sam Saturday about this. I don't know how long his NFL career is going to be, but he's going to leave a lot of kind of beating up guys along the path. Now, he's going to take some shots, just the way he runs with the football. And he's a really good receiver coming out of the backfield. We saw that not only at Arizona State, but before he was at Sacramento State. He can catch the ball really well coming out of the backfield. But, man, he's something, and he was a locker room presence. If you got out of line, you dealt with him. And he sort of kind of put you to another standard, and it made it easier for the transfer quarterback and Sam Levitt to come in. You know, as a guy, you want to be the leader, but Cam was, okay, I got it. You lead this, I'll lead that, and we'll do this together. So we'll get a chance to talk to Sam Levitt. And then at 4:40, we do this every 4th of July. Go forth on the river, and you can watch it from either side of the river. We'll have on with us Debbie Bressler. Come on to talk to us about the event. And it's really something to see. And for a lot of people, you know, if it's a good day, and it's going to be hot, and it's going to be humid, but, you know, a lot of people kind of make it a day there. They might eat lunch somewhere, and then they kind of see the sights and sounds of the city on both sides. And so it's really turned out to be a huge event, and you can hear that here on the Big 870 WWL at 9 o'clock tomorrow night. But Debbie will come on with us to talk about Go Forth on the River. That'll be at 4:40. At 5:20, an old friend of mine who's now the Deputy Athletic Director and Chief Operating Officer at Colorado State University. He was with the Saints for a while. Scott Sidwell, everybody knows his dad. Steve Sidwell was the defensive coordinator under Jim Moore, Dome Patrol defense. And, man, that was some heady days defensively when Coach Sidwell was there. Four great linebackers. I don't think we'll ever see four like that again on one team. So Scott will come on with us, and he'll break down the new NIL rules, which, to be honest with you, they set all this up, and I get why they're doing it. But you know what it's going to go back right back down to, Charlie? They're going to go back to slipping guys money under the table.
Yep.
Okay, you got your rules, I got mine. I want a certain guy on this team, hey, I'm going to get him. And you can have your college rules. It's going to go right back to what it was before. Hey, I'll give you this, I'll give you that, and done behind the scenes. So we'll have Scott Sidwell come on with us to talk about it and just about the new rulings that are set in place. And every team's going to be different now, every school, on how that money's going to be distributed. Some schools that maybe like an LSU will spend a lot more money on baseball than other schools will. Some schools, like Kentucky, probably will spend a lot more money on basketball than they will on some of these sports. So we'll have Scott to break all that down with us, and we'll certainly have our triple option feature. As I got off the air yesterday, I mentioned two recruits LSU was looking at maybe landing, and they got one in Trenton Henderson from Pensacola, Florida. Depending on which service you're looking at, either he's a top 40 recruit or he's a top 100 recruit. As a pass rush defensive end, but in watching him, he's not this long, lengthy defensive end. He's more built like a 3-4 outside linebacker pass rusher. Super quick initial movement off the snap. He's learned how to use his arms and hands really well. He's got a real nasty kind of counter, double counter move and kick inside to go straight to the quarterback with a hard inside move. He could have went anywhere in the country. I mean, anywhere he wanted. It came down to LSU, Florida, and Texas. He ended up selecting LSU, and he certainly is going to have an opportunity to play pretty quickly. We'll see how, you know, Coach Baker uses him, because that he was a guy that they had targeted really hard to land. Another guy they targeted, Blake Baker and company, J.J. Bush, they thought over the weekend the linebacker from Theodore, Alabama, was going to be an LSU commitment. And instead, you know, he picks Arkansas over LSU and Missouri. LSU has no linebackers committed in this in this recruiting class. And that may be something. They may have to focus, Charlie, more on the transfer portal, because as we get deeper into this, and we're going to see over the next couple weeks a large amount of recruits commit, a lot of them want to kind of get this off the table before they head back to school and play their senior year of high school. Now, again, a commitment don't mean anything until you get them signed. And so it's still never really over till it's over. We've seen that before. But losing out on J.J. Bush, the linebacker from Alabama, I think really hurt LSU because they did not have any commitments at that linebacker position. You would say, well, we'll find another one. Well, he was the guy targeted by Blake Baker and company. That's the guy they wanted. And they saw things starting to heat up on the recruiting trail with Bush. And a lot of schools were trying to jump in late to get involved. But you did get Henderson. And you win up front, and you win with the ability to rush the quarterback and stop the run. And LSU got one in Henderson. And, again, I'm intrigued on how they're going to work him up front, because he is not your typical built defensive end.
No.
He is really more of the pass rush outside linebacker 3-4 guy. And you'll see him sometimes with his hand in the dirt and sometimes, you know, kind of off the edge. But, man, can he get off the snap? Whew, he is super quick, Charlie.
You know, Mike, with the J.J. Bush thing, you and I had talked about this off-air, that it felt like Arkansas really got in late and kind of finished the deal to get him signed for their 2026 class. But with Henderson, as you mentioned, not traditionally built. 6'4", 225.
That's stretching it, too.
Yeah, with which way? The height or the weight?
No, the weight's about right. The height, I don't think he's 6'4".
Man, all these programs lie, Mike. It's incredible.
What? Come on. Charlie, you're going to learn that real quick.
Yeah, it's in all sports, too. It's in basketball as well. I remember the whole thing with Ace Bailey being 6'10", and then he measures in at like 6'7.5" at the combine. It's just like, what the heck? That's completely different. But yeah, five-star edge rusher Trenton Henderson. You know, every different site has different rankings. But generally speaking, top 5 to top 10 edge rusher in the country for the class of 2026, and it's obviously a nice boost for the LSU recruiting class. We had Zach Nagy on last night. He said that there's more to come, some local prospects as well that he's going to be keeping an eye on in the coming weeks. But getting Henderson at this point early on in July is obviously a really, really big decision. Yep. And as you mentioned, he's got to sign the piece of paper, but it's obviously a big move for Blake Baker and company.
Yeah, and they've only got 12. You know, you see some of these programs, Charlotte, like Georgia and USC, now they in their 20s.
Right.
22 and 24 commitments. Alabama's been on a roll also, but we'll see how LSU can finish this out. And there's some big names out there over the next few weeks who, again, want to kind of take this off the plate so they can concentrate on their senior year. And for some of them, they want to graduate early from high school so they can come in and participate in the spring of 2026. So they want to get all that in line, play their final year of high school football, graduate midterm, enroll wherever they want to enroll in, and then you get the spring. So you get a little bit of experience there. You're not coming in, as a friend of mine used to always say, like a green rookie.
Right.
You got a little bit under your belt before the fall drills kick around.
You know, Mike, one of the names that Nagy had brought up last night, and I want to get your thoughts real quick before we go to the break and hear from Sam Levitt. Lamar Brown, the big defensive lineman, the five-star from Baton Rouge, U-High. You know, apparently 247, the crystal ball predictions have him leaning more towards Texas A&M, but LSU's still in the running there. That's going to be a big decision that's going to be coming up pretty soon here, too.
I think wherever he decides, Charlie, this may come down to a decision in December.
Oh, wow.
I know he's going to make an announcement.
Okay.
But I think there's going to be a lot of taffy pull here. All the way down to the point where he signs. And I told him this already. He just laughed. I said, you're a better offensive lineman than defensive lineman. But he was like, no, but coach, you got to understand. I want to play defensive end. I said, okay, I get it. Listen, I'm not arguing with you on that. And I understand he's talented now as a defensive end, and he's got some size on him. No, he's legit. And from a standpoint of size-wise, he is a big man that can move. I just thought in watching him, he's more refined as an offensive lineman than a defensive end. But one guy we haven't talked a lot about, but we've had Pete Jenkins rave about him on these shows, Kevin Peoples, and how good of a coach he is, a technician, a guy that really teaches the fundamentals part of the game. He's really not a Jenkins disciple, but he's worked with Pete the last 2 to 3 years, and you can hear in his voice, man, if I was to just say I close my eyes, I would hear Jenkins talk, because he talks like Pete, in essence, when he's explaining how to get off a block, how to kind of stand your guy up, play the run. And so Kevin Peoples, LSU got a winner there. I mean, I don't know how long they're going to keep him, because eventually the NFL will come a-calling for Kevin Peoples. He is that good of an edge defensive end, outside linebacker coach. And so he's certainly going to – if Brown ends up there, and again, Texas A&M, LSU in a battle for him, and no matter what he decides, that really – They're going to take this all the way till signing day. You can bank it.
Yeah, two massive programs fighting over you. It must be nice to have that attention, too, if you're Lamar Brown.
And for LSU, a lot of pressure. He's sitting in your backyard.
Right, Baton Rouge. I mean, he's a U-High kid.
Yeah. And so, yeah, you got to land the big guy, and you can't lose that to a guy to a team you're going to have to play. That's the worst part of it all. You're going to eventually have to play against him. We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870 WWL, and we'll have our interview with Arizona State quarterback Sam Levitt right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870 WWL, Mike Dettelia along with Charlie Long. And Charlie, we got some news breaking about the Pelicans that they've waived Antonio Reeves. Charlie, it can't be because of money. This has got to be a non-fit because I know Reeves in his second year, he ain't making a lot of money.
No, and he was a second-round pick, Mike. This was all Joe Dumars and Troy Weaver deciding that they wanted to go a different direction with the roster. And we talked with Ali Cassell earlier on in the week, and he was really kind of hesitant about some of these bench pieces that, you know, those are the guys that are kind of at risk in a new regime with a kind of new front office that wants to build this roster out in their image. And Antonio Reeves is the latest casualty of that. You know, Michael Scotto from Hoops Hype had posted this, that the Pelicans waived Antonio Reeves, 24-year-old guard, once again, a second-round pick. The Pelicans traded to that selection, by the way, if you'll remember, from the 2024 draft with Orlando sending a couple pick swaps in the second round in 2030 and 2031, and able to get that 47th overall pick, which they used on Reeves. In his rookie campaign, he averaged 6.9 points, shot 45.5% from the field, 39.5% from three. And kind of late in the season, you saw him like show a little bit there, Mike, as far as being a three-point shooter and potentially having a spot on this roster. But apparently Dumars and Weavers have other ideas. So they are waiving Antonio Reeves, which is definitely a surprise to me.
Yeah, it looks as though Joe Dumars washing with hands, feet, and everything of anything other than Zion that David Griffin did. Let's go to our interview with Arizona State standout quarterback Sam Levitt. Mike Dettelia with Sam Levitt, starting quarterback at Arizona State, and your first time here in Manning.
Yeah, you know, I'm super excited to be here, you know, just be around, you know, Peyton, Eli, and the guys, and then, you know, everybody else is in my position, and, you know, it's a good experience.
Y'all caught everybody a little bit off guard last year with the season you had. I know your guys thought you were going to do it, but, man, that was one heck of a run.
Yeah, you know, it's just so special to be with that group of guys. You know, nobody believed in us from the beginning, and just continue. Had success throughout the season and grew, and you know, we just never looked at what was going to happen the next week. It was just living in the now and, you know, focusing on that day at hand and just going from there. So to be able to experience that with that group of guys is special.
Gonna miss that Scatterboo guy, right?
Oh yeah, that's my guy. Yeah.
Now, he was something to watch.
Yeah, he's so special. I mean, everybody looks at what he does on the field, but they don't understand his, you know, mental IQ of the game and, you know, his leadership and all that. And, you know, that's intangibles that you can't see unless you play with them. So that's what makes him so special.
It's amazing. What, 2 years ago, he was at Sacramento State, and then he becomes this star player for you guys.
Yeah, it just shows you how players can get overlooked, you know. We have a bunch of guys like that on the team, and, you know, I felt like I was under-recruited in high school, so it's kind of like the chip on our shoulder we have as an entire team, you know, so we carry that around with us everywhere.
Kind of tell everybody a little bit of your journey. You didn't start at Arizona State, you were at Michigan State, but you're from Texas high school ranks, correct?
I'm from Oregon,
excuse me.
Played a couple games my true freshman year at Michigan State, and then, you know, everything happened with Mel Tucker, and he got fired and all that, and so came out to Arizona State, and you know, the rest is history. I had a great season, and you know, I'm in a better situation than I could ever imagine.
One of the things with Oregon, they produced a few quarterbacks. We had a big guy here a few years back, and Justin Herbert, man, he would talk a lot about it. He said, I grew up only about 2 miles from the stadium.
Yeah, I know. He was with my OC Arroyo, so I hear all about him and his stories. You know, I heard he's a great guy, and I watched a lot of his tape and stuff. He's a great player. I'd love to get around him.
He's a big dude. I know one thing. First time you look at him, you say, sure, you're playing quarterback? You know, because he looks more like a defensive end than a quarterback. What's the one thing you've worked on the most this offseason?
I wouldn't say there's one thing. You know, it's kind of just understanding I got to take a bigger leadership role would be one. You know, understanding, you know, just identifying defenses, you know, even better protections, handling that, getting the ball out on quick game, you know, and just overall IQ of the game and handling everything, you know, plays within our system that, you know, the play might not be within the play call, but I know the look that we need to get to as an offense based on the look that we have. So I guess just overall understanding of the game and getting better at every single aspect.
You got a receiver on that team, man, he developed into a big star last year, and he's going to raise his game up. Tell everybody a little bit about him.
Yeah, Jordan Tyson. You know, I think he's the best receiver in the nation. The way that he views the game, the way that he wins one-on-one, the way that he goes up and gets the ball out of the break, he's super twitchy. You know, I try to race him on, you know, on our conditioning days on Friday, and he's.
How does that work out?
I keep up decently well, but he definitely wins when he wants to win because he's just so special in and out of the break. So, you know, and he's just taken a leap this offseason that's been so special in his maturity and the way that he's went about his taking care of his body, you know, how he shows up to meetings and to the team and shows up to workouts. So I've just been super proud of him, and the leap that he's taken even since last year is pretty exponential, and he's a pro now.
What was the biggest surprise for you when you went to Arizona State? I mean, because, you know, growing up in Oregon, you go to Michigan State, man, you kind of hit it all across. Biggest surprise when you hit Arizona State?
I would say once we kind of woke everybody up and played really well, just how many people really like Arizona State and are bought in. You know, it took a while to get people to buy in, but now that they are, you know, there's a pretty big alumni base and, you know, a lot of people who support us. So that's been good to see.
Man, growing up, now showing some age here, but Kush was the coach at Arizona State. He won a lot then. They were really, you didn't want to play them if they were on your schedule. And now you've got pretty close to that point now.
Yeah, you know, it's good to put Arizona State back on the map and do it with Coach Dillingham and Coach Arroyo, who's really made it go. So I'm just happy to be able to do it for them and be in this situation.
Awesome. Best of luck to you this year, and man, can't wait to see you on the field again.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thanks so much. That was Sam Levitt, starting quarterback at Arizona State, and you talk about a guy who can throw a football special. And his deep ball, goodness gracious. I thought of all the quarterbacks there at Manning, Charlie, he threw the best deep ball of any of them.
Wow.
Now, his short intermediate game needs work. He still sort of fireballs it, and he's got to get better with that touch. And he's a really good athlete. I like the way he kind of rolls on the waggle and can throw off the run. And he's got some wheels on him. He can take off running. But of all the guys, he was the most accurate deep ball passer, and we saw the exact same thing from him last year at Arizona State. And in Jordan Tyson, Chris Gordy, when Locked On SEC, as soon as I finished the interview and we turned around, he was like, Mike, compare Tyson to somebody. I said, easy, Amika Buka.
Oh.
That's who he reminds me of, the kid from Ohio State who's now with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I mean, Tyson and Abuka almost are like brothers, carbon copies of one another. That's how close their game is, and their ability to get into and out of a cut and a break, catch the ball so cleanly, and then they got some scoot after the reception. Arizona State's not going away. If people think that Gillingham, this is a one-time shot, you can forget that. They are going to be tough again. And, you know, some people will say, well, why you want to interview a quarterback from Arizona State? If I was in Austin, Texas a year ago and somebody would have asked me that, I'd have told them, well, guess what? You know, you might have to play them. And they did.
Yep.
January 1st, Peach Bowl, double overtime, they took the Longhorns to. And they had a shot. Charlie, they really did have a shot to win that game. And Longhorns got the best of them. But no Cam Scataboo this year. There's some big moccasins to fill.
Yeah, but Levitt's a really interesting story, Mike. He kind of mentioned it in the interview there. He starts out in Oregon, and then he's the Gatorade Player of the Year in Oregon. Commits to, obviously, Michigan State. Everything that happens with Mel Tucker, he gets fired. So he moves on in the portal to Arizona State. And then his first year as a full-time starter with Arizona State, goes 11-2, 2,885 yards and 24 touchdowns and 6 picks. I mean, it was a very, very strong first season. Not to mention, you talked about his rushing capabilities as well, tacking on just under 500 rushing yards and 5 rushing touchdowns as well. So Sam Levitt, one to keep an eye on, because if you're talking about maybe the top 10 quarterbacks in the country entering 2025 in college football, Levitt's in that number, and I don't think there's any question about it. So I'm definitely looking forward to seeing him play, but hearing you say that he throws the best deep ball of, what was it, Mike, the 48 D1 quarterbacks
48 guys
that were in attendance at Manning Passing Academy, that is high, high praise.
Yeah, he can sling it. Now, he's got a shotgun on him, and boy, it comes out of there super fast. And again, they're not going to sneak up on anybody. And maybe they caught a few teams off guard, but then once you got to see him play, you was like, man, this team is really aggressive. They're not afraid to take chances and not afraid to throw the deep football. So one of the things is when you throw the ball deep, like what Levitt can do, you get the safety out the box. That's how Scatterboo was able to get some yardage. They didn't have an extra man up front because he's afraid they're going to throw the deep ball on him, and Scatterboo made him pay. If you got in front of him, he was either going to run you over or run around you. And interesting team, the Sun Devils. And, again, Frank Cush was there when I was growing up as a kid. They won, and they won big at Arizona State. And people were refusing to play them because they were that talented. Now, in the pros, he didn't get along too well with the veteran guys. It didn't last too long with the Colts. But, man, Frank Cush had a dynasty at Arizona State in the 60s and into the 70s. We'll be back, and we'll have on with us from Go Forth on the River, Debbie Bresser, right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870 WWL, Mike Dettillier along with Charlie Long, and on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line from Go Forth on the River. And every time I know this is coming up, I know we're going to get Debbie on. Miss Debbie Bresler. And Miss Debbie, tell us all about Go Forth on the River. And for people that maybe haven't attended, and you can see this on both sides of the river, so it doesn't matter where you see it at. If somebody has never seen this before, give them what you want to say maybe would be a counter-visual view of what you think is they would love to see and will see tomorrow night.
Well, you're so right. The view is amazing, whether you're on the East Bank or the West Bank, you know, looking at the city, you're looking across the river, the fireworks and the skyline. It's amazing. And, of course, I have to say this is presented by the Mayor's Office of Cultural Economy and NOTCF and 25 other sponsors. And, you know, we start every year to raise the money because it's a community project. This year, the fireworks are going to be the stars. And, I mean, it's going to be gorgeous at 9 p.m. It's free, and there's some creative places if you don't want to watch along the river. There's some creative ways you can get a bird's eye view from Vue Orleans or a cool view from the pool party at the Hilton or dockside at the City of New Orleans riverboat. There's so much parking. There's all types of coupons. Come down early. Come eat. Come see. Listen to the Calliope concerts, which are so fabulous. The Calliope is such a sound of New Orleans. And those are there. GoForthOnTheRiver.com has a lot of information. But the fireworks, you've got to see. It's going to start with something called 17-story-tall patriotic peacock tail fan. It is so amazing. I've seen pictures of it, but it's great. There'll be a shell of shells where there's a solid gold shell that opens up into another shell. And these are shells that go 1,000 feet high, 1,000 feet wide. These are not your home fireworks. These are, let the pros do it. It's safer. It's going to be gorgeous. And of course, the Roy General Kelly's coming out with the red, white, and blue plumes, and that's going to be beautiful to see the fireworks on from that levee. And then at 6:30 to 7 o'clock, you see the General Kelly. It's just amazing. But the fireworks are going to blow you away, literally. So,
and tomorrow that starts at 9 o'clock, the fireworks display. And if anybody needs more information, you can find more, as we talked about earlier in the show, at WWL.com. Debbie, one
absolutely
of the things too that has happened here is it's become like a little mini vacation for some people. They, you know, they may go eat with family at noontime and then they go walk, you know, and so you get to see so many different things in the quarter. If you want to look at some of the hotels, the museums, to visit a restaurant that night. And so I have a friend of mine who he asked me more about the information, but everywhere he goes, he brings his dog. I told him, you best leave the dog home because, you know, some dogs, I had one, you could blow firework. As long as the firework didn't go off in his dish, it was okay. He didn't care. You know, it was just a blink of the eye for him. But for some pooches, they get a little bit upset with that and sort of freak out. But it has become part of an sort of an all-afternoon or all-day celebration right there on the riverfront and also into the French Quarter.
Absolutely, and we have an Irish group, an a cappella group called Trinitongues that have come in. They just did the national anthem at Yankee Stadium. They've arrived in New Orleans literally an hour ago. They're going to be performing at Artillery Park. I think it's Oscar Dunn now, at 2 o'clock and at 8 o'clock leading into the fireworks. You've got the General Kelly at 6:30 to 7. Then you've got the fireworks, and you've got all the sponsors. Ride the riverboat. Go and do the shopping in the museums, like you said. We celebrate the 4th of July. New Orleans style. Nobody else can do it like us. And of course, it's because of Magic and WWL that this has become an international event for us here. And we're so grateful for you guys for all of your support, because this is just going, it's going to be sensational. We're excited. The company is out of Benton, Louisiana, called Pyromania Fireworks, and we are just so excited. It's going to be over 5,000 shells, Mike. Over 5,000.
That's a lot. And mm-hmm. I've gotten emails and texts from people who are visiting the city of, mm-hmm. since it's a long weekend now, that Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and mm-hmm. they ask about the event, and I say, you got to go see it. It's a must-see if you're going to come here. There are certain things in this city, and you want to visit the French Quarter, and you want to eat at some of the great restaurants, and we have some mm-hmm. of the best restaurants and hotels in the world. The World War II Museum, also something you have to visit, too.
Absolutely.
When you're there. Mm-hmm. But this is a group, and you part of it. So many people have contributed to this, to make this such a huge event for the night of 4th of July.
Well, they really have, and you're so sweet to bring that up, because people just think it kind of drops from the sky, and that's really not the way it works. We start every year over again. If you don't mind, if I could even say some of them. New Orleans and Company, the Burger and Tiller families. Of course, Pyromania has added extra fireworks. Of course, WWL Magic. And 20 other sponsors, along with NOTCF and the Mayor's Office of Cultural Economy. We've got the NOPD, the Fire Department, Emergency Services. You know, it's just Homeland Security, the Harbor Police, State Police. Everybody's working with us to produce this event for our city. And definitely, you're here visiting, whether you're locals, you've got people in from out of town or not, come on down, because it's a great way, in between all the activities going on and leading up to the fireworks, you can really take in a lot of New Orleans.
Debbie, you're absolutely right. And we saw this for Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. And I think for people who hadn't been to New Orleans in a while, and then you visit, of how close proximity everything is, if it's mm-hmm. hotels, restaurants, the museums, everything. And now, again, you might put a little bit of mileage on them heels if you're walking for everything. But you compare that to a Los Angeles or a Miami or New York, it's not comparable to that.
No,
because you can
not.
Walk this city, but to have this event here, and it is getting so much attention, not only locally, but also outside of our region.
Absolutely. I remember years and years ago, after I think it was 9/11, we did a parade. We thought we would just get some of the floats out and have a parade that started down in the Marigny. All these fire trucks started coming from all over the country that just showed up to be in the parade and to be here for 4th of July in New Orleans. There were people along the route from Japan, from France. It was just amazing as we took little clipboards to see where people are from. And people really do come in. And, of course, we welcome all the Essence guests that are here over the weekend, too, because that's so wonderful and what it brings to New Orleans. And it's just it's a wonderful thing we have. And we nobody can celebrate Independence Day the way New Orleans does.
Nobody can do a party like what we do down here. Nobody can.
Right.
So, Debbie, tell everybody again exactly kind of how everything starts. It starts in the afternoon, but 9 o'clock is really when the fireworks displays go off, and you can see them from both the East and the West Bank.
Right, all the way from the French Market District all the way to where the Hilton, you know, river walks out that way, both sides of the river. Or you could, you know, buy a ticket to go to the other venues if you want to see them from Vieux Orleans on the Hilton or the riverboat city of New Orleans. Natchez, the paddle wheeler. There are other things you can do, but the show along the river, the historic New Orleans Riverfront, is free. Starting at 2 o'clock, the Trinitones will be at Artillery Park, and then 6:30, we welcome that wonderful General Kelly fireboat. And then 8 o'clock, the Trinitones will have another performance leading into the 9 p.m. fireworks show, and it will be 14 minutes. This is the longest show we've had for a long time. So it's going to be wonderful. It's going to be chock full. That's 5,000 shells. And everybody can go to WWL.com and get more information about it. Also, the link to the music that goes with the fireworks is also on the WWL website. So go there or visit GoForthOnTheRiver.com and get more information about parking and different things that are available from our sponsors. It's going to be terrific.
Go Forth on the River, something you can't miss. Debbie, thank you for coming on with us. Also, thank you for all the work and everybody that works with you to put this on. This is something that is really something to see, and congratulations on turning this into such a huge event.
Well, thank you, and thank you guys. Y'all are up there. Y'all part of the team.
I appreciate
it.
Thank you. Debbie Bressa does a great job with Go Forth on the River. And, again, that starts at 9 o'clock tomorrow night, the fireworks display. And you can see it on both sides of the river. We'll be back to wrap it up here in hour number one of Sports Talk right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Finishing up here on Sports Talk on our number one. When we come back at 5:20, we'll have on with the Scott Sidwell, Associate Athletic Director at Colorado State, to explain to us all the new rules on NIL. We'll be back with more Sports Talk right after this news break.